Well, hello and welcome to the Jazz Focus. My name is John Clark. Thank you for joining us. Welcome if it's your first time. We explore the highways and byways of classic jazz, and we're going to be exploring kind of a limited repertoire today. We're going to be going back to Chicago in the 1920s and listening to some bands that were led, musically anyway, by the cornet player Jimmy McPartland, James Dougal McPartland. He was born in 1907 in Chicago and came up in very tough circumstances. By his own admission, he was kind of a street thug when he was young, and it was music that rescued him from probably prison and an early death. He lived quite a long life. He lived to be, about 83 or so. We had a long, very successful career in music. He started playing cornet when he was about 15 years old and fell in with a group that came to be known as the Austin High Gang. Many of them went to Austin High School in Chicago. People like his brother Dick McPartland on guitar, Bud Freeman, Dave Tuff, Eddie Condon, Frank Teschmacher. Some of them went to that school. Some of them just sort of gravitated to each other. They were all very enthused with the sounds of African-American jazz bands that were active on the south side of Chicago at the time. And they also were initially influenced by a white New Orleans band called the New Orleans Rhythm Kings that was beginning to put out records by about 1922, right when these fellows were getting started playing instruments. And they would try to imitate the sounds they heard on those recordings, probably to not great success, but they got better gradually until they started recording in the late 20s. But before that, Jimmy McPartland had advanced beyond them as a cornet player and was actually selected to replace Bix Beiderbecke in the Wolverine Orchestra. The Wolverines was the first band that Bix had recorded with in 1924. They barnstormed throughout the Midwest and ended up in New York City playing for some various shows, and they sent for Jimmy McPartland to come in because Bix was going on the road with the Gene Gold Kett Orchestra. And McPartland passed his audition, apparently beating out some other players like Sharky Bonanno and a couple of others as well. And he made his first recordings with the Wolverine Orchestra. Bix had made his last recording in October of 1924, and McPartland made his first and really only recording with the classic version of this band 2 months later in December 5th of 1924. These were recorded for the Jennet label. And we're going to hear those two tunes to begin with. The pop song When My Sugar Walks Down the Street, with a vocal by Dave Harmon, and then the jazz tune Prince of Wales. And the personnel in this band was Jimmy McPartland on cornet. We also have Jimmy Hartwell on clarinet, occasionally alto saxophone, George Johnson on tenor, Dick Voynow on piano. He was the music director of this group and presumably did the arrangements as well. Bob Gillette on banjo, Min Liebrook on tuba, and Vic Moore on drums. A very young and sparkly sounding group, and they had played together for quite a while, with Bix at any rate. So we're going to hear those two tunes, as I said, When My Sugar Walks Down the Street and The Prince of Wales, December 5th of 1924. Then we're going to jump up to October 12th of 1927 and four sides that were recorded by the original Wolverines. I don't know if this was a touring group or if this was just a group that was capitalizing on the name. They recorded for Brunswick in Chicago. By this point, McPartland had returned to Chicago and was sort of at the beginning of his tenure with the Ben Pollock Orchestra. But he recorded with this group, which also featured Dick Voynow on piano and arrangements and so forth. Mike Durso is on trombone. Maury Burkov was a very underrated clarinet player from the time, also played alto sax on this session. Basil Dupree on bass, and Vic Moore, again, on drums. There's also a guitar player who's unlisted. Don't know who he is, but he's featured on a couple of numbers and takes an excellent solo on a couple of numbers as well. Have to wonder if it might not have been McPartland's brother Dick, who was a well-known musician at the time and recorded several times in the 1930s. He had more of a classical bent to his playing, but a very good technical player. The four tunes we're going to hear from that session are The Royal Garden Blues, Shimmy Shawabble, A Good Man Is Hard to Find, and The New Twister. So this will be our Wolverine set here, the classic version of the Wolverines from 1924, When My Sugar Walks Down the Street and Prince of Wales, and then kind of a reunion, the original Wolverines from 1927, Royal Garden Blues, Shimmy Shawabble, A Good Man Is Hard to Find, and The New Twister, all featuring Jimmy McPartland on cornet. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So that was Jimmy McPartland with the Wolverines, the two versions of the Wolverine Orchestra. The first one was the real original Wolverines, in which he replaced Bix Beiderbecke. After only about 2 months, they made a recording. December 5th of 1924, they did When My Sugar Walks Down the Street, featuring a vocal by Dave Harmon. And then 1 week later, they went back into the studio, December 12th, and recorded Prince of Wales, both of those for the Janet Company, done in New York. And we heard Dick Voynau on piano, directing and arranging and what have you, Jimmy McPartland on cornet, Jimmy Hartwell on clarinet and alto, George Johnson on tenor, Bob Gillette on banjo, Minleybrook on tuba, and Vic Moore on drums. Then we jumped up a couple of years to 1927, 3 years, I guess, October 12th of 1927, and we heard the what was billed as the original Wolverines, again with Dick Voynau being credited as the director on the album label, with Jimmy McPartland, Mike Durso on trombone, Maury Burkov taking some really excellent clarinet and alto solos on here, Basil Dupre on bass, and Vic Moore on drums. The presence of the bass and the recorded prominence of it really makes this sound much more modern, I think, than 1927 would suggest. There's also an unknown guitar player who takes solos on, I think, three of the four numbers. Really very good bluesy single-string guitar solos. And as I said, possibly Dick McPartland, but who knows? Nobody ever thought to write his name down, apparently. And we heard the Royal Garden Blues, Shimmy Shawabble, A Good Man Is Hard to Find, and The New Twister. The New Twister did not have a composer's attribution on the original record, and a couple of other sources listed as simply traditional. So I don't know if it was just a traditional melody floating around. It doesn't seem to have anything to do with the Twister that Eddie Lang recorded a few months earlier, but who knows. So that was the original Wolverines in two different incarnations, but both featuring Jimmy McPartland on cornet. And he was obviously very much influenced by Bix Beiderbecke's playing. He had initially come up listening to Paul Meurez with the New Orleans Rhythm Kings, and also with listening to both King Oliver and Louis Armstrong with the Creole Jazz Band. But he was very much captured by that measured and very melodic style that Bix Beiderbecke had, and that's why he was deemed to be an appropriate replacement in the Wolverines. So now we're going to jump up a bit to what I think we'd have to call classic recordings. This is a session that was done right about the same time as the last one in Chicago for the OK label, done in December of 1927. And this is credited to Mackenzie and Condon's Chicagoans. This is, I believe, the first recording, or almost the first recording, by the Austin High Gang. And this features Jimmy McPartland on cornet, Frank Teschmacher on clarinet, Bud Freeman on tenor sax, very young Bud Freeman and kind of a tentative sound. He improved immensely very quickly after this session. Joe Sullivan, the great stride pianist, Eddie Condon on banjo, Jim Lanigan on bass, whether tuba or string bass, and also a very young Gene Krupa on drums. All of these were Chicago running mates at the time. And we're going to hear two tunes from the first date, Sugar and China Boy, and then from 8 days later, December 16th of 1927, we're going to hear You're Nobody's Sweetheart Now and Liza, not the George Gershwin Liza, but the tune that was composed by Eddie Condon, and roughly the same time. I think it's a coincidence that they were both named the same thing. So we're going to just do our set with those four tunes, Sugar, in a slightly different order. We're going to start out with China Boy, then go to Sugar, then You're Nobody's Sweetheart, and finishing up with Liza. All featuring Jimmy McPartland's great lead cornet playing with Mackenzie and Condon's Chicagoans. Thank you. Short but sweet and ever so classic. That was the McKenzie and Condon's Chicagoans Sessions from December of 1927. We started out with China Boy and then heard Sugar from December 8th and then Nobody's Sweetheart and Liza from December 16th. Jimmy McPartland on cornet, Frank Teschmacher on clarinet, Bud Freeman on tenor sax, Joe Sullivan on piano, Eddie Condon on banjo, Jim Lanigan on bass and tuba, and Gene Krupa on drums. And as I said, this was the first recording session done by this group of young white musicians who had come up in the 1920s. McPartland was the veteran, having recorded several times before this, but he was playing with this group, and they were jobbing around Chicago a bit. He was just about to go on the road with the Ben Pollock Band, and ending up in New York, where they made quite a few recordings. And his place was taken by Muggsy Spanier. We have another podcast on early Muggsy Spanier, and we will have another one coming up not too long after that, probably a radio show, which features Frank Teschmacher, the recordings that he did that aren't on either of these two podcasts, most of which have Muggsy Spanier on it. So we're going to move on now to a series of recordings that were done under Benny Goodman's name, and this was done while Goodman and McPartland were part of the Ben Pollock Orchestra. The band had been on the West Coast when Goodman was just joining the band. He was only about 17 at the time, something like that. They had come back to Chicago, and they were playing some very nice residencies, and Jimmy McPartland joined them, I believe, in December of 1927. His first recording with them was the day before the first McKenzie and Condon's recording we just heard on December 7th of 1927. And the band went to New York in the spring of 1928, but not before Benny Goodman made his first recording under his own name for the Vocalion label in January of 1928, January 23rd. This is called Benny Goodman's Boys with Jim and Glenn. And these are all, with one exception, members of the Ben Pollock Band. We have Jimmy McPartland on cornet, Glenn Miller on trombone, Benny Goodman on clarinet, Vic Bredis on piano, Dick Morgan on guitar, Harry Goodman on tuba, and Bob Conselman on drums and vibraphone. Of course, he wasn't with the Pollock Band because Pollock was the drummer. And we're going to hear the two tunes that were issued on from that date, A Jazz Holiday and The Wolverine Blues. And this features some good Chicago-style unbuttoned playing and has some excellent lead by Jimmy McPartland. Then we're going to jump ahead to when the band was in New York. That first session, as I said, was in Chicago. By the spring, they were in New York, and on June 4th, 1928, Benny Goodman's Boys recorded for Brunswick. And we're going to hear essentially the same band, Jimmy McPartland, Glenn Miller, Benny Goodman, Vic Bredis, Dick Morgan, Harry Goodman. This time Ben Pollock will be on drums. The boss comes in. And Fud Livingston is on clarinet and tenor sax. And we also hear a little bit of Tommy Dorsey, who guested on one number. And Benny Goodman, in this case, is showing his versatility. He plays, in addition to clarinet, alto sax and baritone sax, and even does a cornet break on one of the tunes that we're going to hear. And the tunes that we're going to hear from that session are the Shirttail Stomp, which was a comedy record. They were horsing around in the studio playing some corny blues, and the recording director said, let's try one of those, and it became actually a pretty significant hit, outselling the other recordings from that session, and other bands even copied it. After Shirttail Stomp, we're going to hear Jelly Roll Morton's Jungle Blues, which features a two-bar break by Benny Goodman on cornet, leading into Jimmy McPartland's solo. Then the tune Blue and Broken Hearted, which has a lovely baritone sax lead, and then an alto solo by the leader. And then we're going to end up with the tune Room 1411, called Goin' to Town, which has a very good hot jazz solo by Benny Goodman on baritone sax. So this is Benny Goodman's Boys with Jim and Glenn, and Benny Goodman's Boys. A Jazz Holiday, Wolverine Blues, The Shirttail Stomp, Jungle Blues, Bloom Broken Hearted, and Room 1411. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
some good hot jazz sounds from Chicago and New York, but done by a Chicago jazz band led by Benny Goodman. We started out with the Jazz Holiday and the Wolverine Blues, Benny Goodman's Boys with Jim and Glenn, Jimmy McPartland, cornet on all of these sides today. This program devoted to his playing in the 1920s, with Benny Goodman on clarinet, Glenn Miller on trombone, Vic Bredis on piano, Dick Morgan on guitar, Harry Goodman on tuba, and Bob Conselman on drums and vibraphone. All but Bob Conselman were members of the Ben Pollock Band playing in Chicago at that time. And they were shortly to decamp for New York, where they started playing at I think the Park Plaza, had several fine residencies and also did some pit work in the Broadway theaters. I think they played, or parts of that band played for Strike Up the Band, the George Gershwin show. Then they recorded on June 4th of 1928 as Benny Goodman's Boys. The first two sides were by Vocalion, and these are by, for Brunswick. And it was the same band with Ben Pollock himself on drums and the addition of Fud Livingston on clarinet and tenor sax. He was kind of a legendary figure in white jazz circles in the 1930s, kind of a crazy guy with a very advanced harmonic sense and an excellent arranger. He published some stock arrangements that were extraordinary and did arranging work for a variety of bands, including Jimmy Dorsey's and others as well. Here, he probably was responsible for the arranging touches we heard on some of these charts that came out of this session. We heard the Shirt Tail Stomp to begin with, which was kind of a jokey thing based on St. Louis blues, where they were imitating the corny jazz players of the day like Ted Lewis. Tommy Dorsey was added to the personnel. He was apparently recording in an adjoining studio and came by and added his corny trombone solo to the mix, and I think it was to the great surprise of all that the record was issued and actually sold quite well. After that, we heard Jelly Roll Morton's Jungle Blues. That was an interesting tune. It had Benny Goodman playing cornet. He actually played a longer solo than I recalled. Towards the end, I believe that was him playing eight bars coming out of the ensemble before the ensemble took it out in the last part. That was just a tune based on basically one chord. Jelly Roll recorded it with his Red Hot Peppers around the same time, and interesting version in this case. Then we went to that pop tune Blue and Broken Hearted, and that featured Benny Goodman playing the melody on baritone sax with a very nice cornet solo by McPartland and ending up with a very nice alto solo by Benny Goodman, kind of recreating the idea of Bix and Frank Trumbauer on some of those Frank Trumbauer recordings, although both of these players were very different in style. And then we finished up with Room 1411, subtitled Going to Town, which had an excellent baritone sax solo on the verse, some fine cornet and clarinet as well. So you've been listening to the Jazz Focus. My name is John Clark. Hope you've enjoyed this program, listening to some interesting Chicago jazz of the 1920s, all unified around the person of cornet player Jimmy McPartland. And McPartland went on to returned to Chicago after a while and led bands throughout the 1930s, recorded for a couple of companies, served his country in World War II over in England. I think he landed at Normandy as well, but was playing in several service bands where he met his wife, Marion Turner, the piano player, and she was known for the rest of her career as Marion McPartland. She played a good deal more modern stylistically than her husband did, but they were associated musically and personally for the rest of his life anyway. He lived to the ripe old age of about 83 or so. So thank you for joining us. If you'd like to support us and become a member of the family, we would encourage that. Hit that little button, become a donor on a sustaining basis, or once in a while if you like these programs. I'd also like to hear from you if you have any suggestions for future programs. Hit me up on my social media, which is my band name, Wolverine Jazz Band, wolverinejazzband.net, and the Wolverine Jazz Band on Facebook and Instagram. So thank you very much, and I'll see you on the other side.